You're listening to 2024 in Review, a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories of the year from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
New book is out by Howard Blum, When the Night Comes Falling, A Requiem for the Idaho Student Murders. It's kind of a biographical book that really dives into all of the individuals in this case. I don't want to say characters because it makes it sound like these aren't real human beings. These are people that are living through this nightmare right now. Goes into talking about the parents, the families of the victims, and really painting an interesting picture of all of these individuals who have all been brought together by this tragedy. Joining me to discuss, Eric Fadis, defense attorney and a former prosecutor. There's a lot in this book. I'm just starting to get into it, but I've watched several interviews that Howard has given about it. It seems one of the big narratives in here is about the dad, about him always wanting to be, you know, a good dad, especially here later in life, because it seems like there's a lot of guilt there for younger years, feeling like he didn't come through as a provider, a good father figure, things of that nature. So really kind of almost overcompensating later in life. And then some questions that have been brought up about, you know, maybe your son is not, I don't know, something's not quite right, as we can tell. What do you think some of the takeaways here are going to be from this book, if anything, being a lot of it is just kind of information given us to us from a different perspective?
You know, the paternal support piece you touch on reminds me a bit of the Gabby Petito and Brian Landry saga, where Brian Landry's parents really came to his defense, and some have accused them of even covering things up or trying to otherwise obstruct the investigation into the death. Now, I'm not saying that Koberger's father went that far, but after the incident, you know, there's that cross-country vehicle ride between Koberger and his father. And it just sort of rings of this, you know, fatherly support in really tough times. And how far did that support go?
Yeah, Howard apparently had talked to some acquaintances, friends of the father to kind of get some of this information. And from what we understand from the book is that he was kind of wondering what was going on with his son, almost kind of just, not, I'm going to say suspecting, but curious about, you know, when my son drives this car, he lives out there. We kind of know his history with women. We know he has, you know, he's kind of a, you know, a powder keg in a lot of cases. You know, you don't want to think that of your own child, but when you get pulled over twice in the course of just a few minutes, you know, some red flags start to arise there.
I can't imagine what that father was thinking during that car ride. He's already got these suspicions, most likely. And you know, then there are those two traffic stops with police. I think that could only, you know, raise the concerns, raise the alarms in his head more. And it kind of confirms some of those things that he was worried about regarding his son, Cobert.
Yeah, then he gets back to the house and starts cleaning the back of his car with bleach, wearing gloves in the house, putting things into plastic bags. Not a good look if you're not trying to hide anything. And of course, the family has not been present at any of Koberger's hearings, and there's been a lot of Koberger hearings. He's willing to go over there to pick him up for Thanksgiving. He went out there with him. We're talking about the dad when he initially got Brian over to school, even going as far as to a neighbor saying, hey, you know, my son's kind of awkward. Why don't you be friends with him? You know, like a parent would do to an 8-year-old. But we're talking about a 28-year-old here. Does that speak to anything that the family has not been in that courtroom at all over the course of now, you know, more than a year?
There are multiple reads on that. Could go a number of ways. Could be that they're just sort of distancing themselves from this horrible incident.
Sure.
But it could also be, you know, the dad is subject to being called as a witness by the prosecution. And he's going to have to get up there and he's going to be asked, what did Brian Koberger tell you during this cross-country car ride? What did you talk about? When the police came, how did he respond? And you know, either the dad's going to have to testify to the jury about that, or he's going to invoke the Fifth, which would imply that he could have some kind of responsibility or some accessory after the fact involvement. It hasn't been established yet, but we'll have to see how that goes. journalism.
A lot of questions. It's a very interesting book. I'm excited to get more into it. If you want to check it out, it is by Howard Blum, When the Night Comes Falling, A Requiem for the Idaho Student Murders.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.